Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of This Justin Radio. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. Today, we're broadcasting live from the HIMSS Annual Conference in Orlando, HIMSS 24, broadcasting from Radio and Podcast Row. Before we get too far, though, let me thank my radio and on-air producers, Greg Masters and Roberta Mullen. Thank you so much, team. Some of this came together at the last minute, and Greg was fantastic, and Roberta is always amazing. It's great to work with you guys always, and this is actually my 10th year straight, as my first broadcast was live from HIMSS 15 in Chicago. So thanks again for helping me keep this streak going. That was a phenomenal event and launched a great annual trend of key thought leaders sharing best practices and strategies to successfully navigate the future of healthcare. So over the next few days, we're bringing you the latest in industry's most sought after CEOs, CIOs, care providers, policy leaders, and visionaries. If you miss any of this episode and broadcast, all my content for This Justin Radio is posted to iTunes, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Google, and on the TuneIn platforms. As many of you know, my goal for broadcasting live each year for the HIMSS annual conference is to create an information medium that shares best practices, strategies, and actionable intelligence from the industry's leading sources and experts. We're also fortunate to have many of these guests as initial members of our Health Innovation Think Tank, where we transparently share healthcare and digital health best practices, as well as key strategies. You can find out more about the Think Tank at healthinnovationthinktank.com. My goal, along with all my guests here, will be to offer tactics and strategies to not only survive, but to thrive. You're going to even hear that from my good friend Rasu Shrestha, who'll talk about surviving and thriving in his upcoming episode. But it's important that we all thrive as we navigate our hospitals, physician practices, our companies, or even your families through all these changes occurring in healthcare. There's more opportunity than ever before for all of us to thrive, but we must understand how healthcare is evolving, how policy and reimbursement is shifting, and where best practices and innovation can support our efforts. I hope you glean all of that over the next few days of broadcasting. That's at least my goal. Thanks again, and off to my next guest. Welcome back to This Justin Radio Show, broadcasting live from HIMSS 24 in sunny Orlando. Very excited to introduce my next guest and great, great friend, Steve Rhodes, founder and co-CEO of Arrow Health. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, it's great, Justin. Great to be here. Good to see you again, as always.
As always. And first time you've been on the show, which is kind of remarkable.
We've done some podcasts together, but first time on your show, yes.
That's right. Oh, that's right. We have done some shows. That's right. We have done some shows in the past. I love it. So first, before we dive into all your great thought leadership, show been great for you? Action-packed?
You know, it's a good business development show for us. We've got a lot of vendor partners here. Obviously, you're feeling the buzz of the industry. So, you know, Vibe, HIMSS are just great investments in time.
Very true. So I like to start off with something positive. What progress are you excited to see occurring in healthcare today?
It's a great question. I think the most exciting thing for me is really the tipping point of value-based care. I feel like we're finally at that stage where technology has kind of crossed the chasm. I feel like we're at the stage where reimbursement is attractive enough for the providers and the caregivers to really look seriously at this. And we've got the outcome data. The clinical outcomes are there. You can't argue with it. So that's probably what I'm most excited about. I don't believe we can bend the healthcare cost curve until we deal with chronic disease.
Absolutely.
And we all know that's where the big cost centers are at the end of lifetime. So I think you're going to see big adoption cycles in that. I think you're going to see reimbursement increase. You know, EHR vendors becoming more open to interfacing. So it's just an exciting time for primary care.
Yeah, my first guest this morning was Anish Chopra, who's one of the four leading people, experts in the world on unleashing data. And that was what, he was fire API, fire, get out there and literally let that data flow and fly and couldn't agree more. So I love that you said the EHR industry is, you know, looking at enabling that more.
I think it's very important because stifling costs of running a medical clinic, no matter what vertical you're in now, the staffing concerns you've got to be able to meet that patient at the care point and prevent those readmissions, monitor medication adherence, do the things that you need to do that they don't physically need to come in. And as the population ages, they aren't able to physically come in. Right. So care panels are going to grow. We see primary care, in particular in the MD industry, shrinking with the burnout. So this is what I believe is one of the true answers to solve the problem.
Because you're new to the show, please give maybe a minute on your on Aero Health and what you guys do and your differentiating in the marketplace.
We're basically a healthcare consulting company around EHR adoption and utilization. So we provide hosting services, consulting around adoption and optimization. We will do data analytics and data extractions. We'll build the interfaces, build the bridges to basically connect to the right care partners. And we provide back-end rev cycle solutions. So multiple platforms, very dominant in eClinicalWorks, 21 years in the space doing this. So yeah. I've seen a lot of changes. And obviously, we're at the elbow with the physician, so we really feel like we understand the pain points.
Absolutely. And in full transparency, I've known Steve for well over 21 years now.
Oh, don't date us. Don't date us. Yeah.
So he's one of the best in the industry. So
at least we're not on camera. So.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. I certainly have a face for radio. So what healthcare or digital health trends are you seeing in the industry?
Well, you can't walk through HIMSS without seeing AI. Yep. I mean, every booth, with the exception of maybe your booth, has AI in it.
Correct.
So, it's a trend. Obviously, we're all excited about what AI can do, but I think there's some concerns because there's really no governance right now. I feel like if you're looking to adopt it, don't get caught up in the sexy nature of the technology.
Yeah, the hype,
I feel it's important to say, what use cases do I have? What problems am I trying to solve? In our business, immediately we're looking at the back office functions. How can we automate everything from receiving a fax to posting a claim to putting bots on your portal or your website to capture more demographic information, so we're taking load pressure off the staff? As I mentioned earlier, everything we hear from our customers is, I can't hire staff. Mm-hmm. It's getting very expensive.
Yes.
And the regulatory issues that I have to face on documentation, things like that, are killing me.
Yep.
So I think there's a real opportunity with AI. Again, you got to adopt it smart, though. So that's probably the biggest trend that I see today, in particular at this show.
I agree. What is your goal for coming to HIMSS?
For me, it's a business development meeting. I get to meet with a lot of my partners, and plus it's an industry education meeting.
Yes.
I get to hear what thought leaders are saying. I get to see what health systems are doing around AI. Just where are people taking it? And like I said, there's a lot of interesting solutions out there. I just caution people, especially when they come to the generative side of the AI, are they thinking through the virtual scribes of the world? How is that data stored? Where it's stored? Who's responsible for that? Those are questions that need to be answered, and I think HIMSS can be a thought leader in defining that governance and responsibility metrics that we need. So,
yep.
But that's my goal, and I've enjoyed coming to HIMSS every year. So.
Yep. So you mentioned a couple of trends and totally agree with the AI aspects. What are a couple of best practices or strategies to help navigate those trends or other trends that you're seeing out there?
I mentioned earlier, what are the use cases?
Mm-hmm.
What are the problems
you're trying
to solve? If your problem is physician burnout, dig a little deeper into that and figure out where it is. Is it too much documentation? Is it they're managing their own referrals? Is it coding? Is it the actual patient encounter? And understand what we're trying to solve before we just go out and adopt that piece of technology. Because you're going to fail if you don't understand the impact on your workflow, on the delivery of care, if you're not really trying to solve the problem. Solve one problem,
mm-hmm.
and move on to the next. Test it. Because if you can't measure it, you can't modify it.
Right.
And you know, I think that's a cliche. But again, as I look across the aisle, everyone says AI here, and you've got some very interesting solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not ready and you haven't thought through that one case study,
yep.
you're not going to be successful. That's probably the biggest piece of information I can give mm-hmm. to navigate that trend right now.
Yep. So is there any innovation or technology or strategy you've seen here that you've been impressed with or you said that made you stop and do a double take or anything like that?
I think there's a lot of opportunities, I said, in the back office functionality as far as automating it,
mm-hmm.
robotic process automation and bots. That would be, in my opinion, your first step, because we all know it's a cost center in a medical practice or
absolutely.
In a healthcare system. And as I mentioned, with the staffing issues that the whole industry is facing, I think that's low-hanging fruit. I've seen a lot of sexy demonstrations around virtual scribes
mm-hmm.
and ambient listening. I think that can really be something interesting for providers. But like I said, until we really understand reasonable, responsible, and safe use,
yep.
that's a slippery slope. And the vendors are here, and they're pushing it, but
right.
they're not the one you're going to look to help you with those guidance.
Yeah,
so hopefully HIMSS and CMS and organizations like that will step up.
Yep, totally agree. So thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate in 3 years from now? I know it's a hard question. 3 years in healthcare is an eternity.
It is an eternity. We talked about it at the start of the call. I think the value-based care model is something that's going to continue to evolve, and you need to get on board. Mm-hmm. So if I'm Absolutely. Thinking 3 years out now, you need to make the investments in the technology space, in changing your workflows, in understanding what resources you may need to outsource or have on staff to embrace this, because we're not going to be able to grow as a healthcare organization, as a country, mm-hmm. given the aging population, given the staff burnout and shortages in providers, if we don't deal with that chronic disease. And again, as we mentioned, we're finally at that tipping point. Technology, reimbursement, and patient engagement are there. Patients are now starting to say, this is something I value because it's looking after me. If we can let Alexa in our house,
right.
we can definitely let CCM and things like that in our house. So,
absolutely. So how do you guys, I mean, you have thousands of customers. How do you educate them? I know how you enable them with technology and innovation, but how do you get them empowered? And how do you really bring them into the 22nd century of healthcare, whatever, you know, the future?
Yeah, a lot of it, Justin, is old school. Just talking to them about what they're trying to be, mm-hmm. where they're trying
what
to
they're
get
trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Are they looking to be acquired by Optum? Are they looking to be independent? Are they looking to scale? Are they taking capital down to grow? All those things we need to take into consideration when we help them plan technology adoption.
Yep.
Because again, if they're going down one path, there may be things we do. We're seeing big trends in outsourcing right now. Everything from revenue cycle, which is standard, to call centers, to technology deployment. And I think that trend's going to continue. So we tend to meet with our customers at minimum annually, hopefully quarterly, if we have the resources, really understand where they're going. Because mm-hmm. Things change in healthcare so quickly, as you know.
Yep.
And that's how we'll guide them. We have to understand their priorities, understand the problems they're trying to solve, and look a year, look 2 years down the road. So.
Yep. If you're a standard primary care group, and I know you mentioned, obviously, looking at what their goals are, but if you walk into a primary care group, say they're on ECW today,
yep.
what's a tangible next step? And this can go for almost any product, but I want to put you in the middle of a product that you may not know quite as well as ECW. What do you tell them to be ready to navigate or to be ready for tomorrow, be ready for 2025 and 2026? Yeah. Is it risk-based contracts? Is it chronic care management? Is there anything like that?
In primary care, I think you need to be doing all that. And I also think you need to look and understand your analytics. You're at a point now, if you've had an EHR for a few years, that you've got great historical data.
Great point.
Use that data. Whether it's profiling how many patients that are diabetic that haven't had a hemoglobin A1C in 90 days and are not on my schedule.
Right. That's
great. If you're not using your tools that way, you're not using the investment you made.
That's right.
I mean, we all adopt these technologies, in my opinion, to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
and then we stop.
Right.
And that's where I encourage and prod our clients and saying, now you've got data. How are we going to use it? How are we going to be predictive? I'm not necessarily saying you have to use clinical decision support blindly, but right. we can use predictive data
Absolutely.
On how we schedule better, how we reduce no-shows, how we do things like that that hit our bottom line. That's what we tell our clients.
I love it. It's great advice, wisdom. So anything else? When do you leave town?
I'm here till Friday. I have a board meeting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's a long week.
I've got some leadership, and then I'm out of here. And then I'm back in lovely Orlando for the AMGA here in 2 weeks. So.
Very cool. Is there anything else that you have to see? I get done here in about an hour. I'm going to finally get a chance to. I walk the floor a little bit, but I'm going to finally walk the floor. Anything that you're going to go off and see or want to see or need to see?
I've seen some interesting solutions around, like I said, marrying AI with what I'll call old tech.
Mm-hmm.
So your phone system. We can do everything we can to push our patients towards online scheduling or our portal, but some are still going to pick up the phone.
Right.
If we can use that AI tools to prompt them and answer a lot of questions and direct them where they need to be, I think that's another win.
Yep.
And again, it's using the advanced technology, but using it to solve simple problems. Start simple and grow from there.
I love it. And you also came down at a perfect time. The weather... You actually, I know you're here and you're over in Sarasota a month or so or a couple months ago, but the weather's been absolutely amazing. And so now, but we actually had a pretty cool several months, which living there has been amazing because it's been in the 60s has been awesome and not overly hot. I remember last year it was like 82 degrees in January and that was way too hot. So you picked an amazing time to come here and so thoroughly soak it up.
Well, hopefully I'll get out of the trade show floor and see a little of it, Justin.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll also need to make it over to Sarasota to see all of us over there.
We will. We will.
All right. Steve Rhodes, Arrow Health, thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of your conference, my friend.
Thank you, Justin.
Very excited to introduce my next guest and great, great friend of the show, Howard Berg, co-founder, Gray Matters, and principal at Howard Byrd Health Law. Welcome back to the show, my good friend.
No, thank you very much, Justin. It is always a pleasure.
Same here. The only thing is we did not do a dinner this year. You did not host a dinner here at HIMSS 24. You always host dinners.
I didn't feel like cooking.
I love that. That's perfect. Now, so great to see you. First, before we dive into all your great thought leadership, one of the most renowned, prolific attorneys in the business, always grateful to have your friendship and the opportunity to work together. But before we dive into all your great thought leadership, has the show been action-packed for you, fun, eventful?
It's been informative.
Here you go.
HIMSS, like every other conference in HIMSS global meeting, but let's face it, when everybody says HIMSS, they mean the annual conference.
You got it.
They were all hit hard by the pandemic.
Yes.
And HIMSS has worked very hard to come back. This is another step forward, and that's really good to see.
Yes.
So I think, you know, different aspects of it are progressing at different rates, but it's nice to see the whole thing moving.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this a couple of times. My audience is probably sick of me saying this, but you and I have not caught up specifically on this topic. It's just there's a lot of new faces here. So the energy certainly back, I think 35,000 people is the number that they're being tossed around. A lot of booths, a lot of good energy, a lot of traction, but again, a lot of new faces, which is exciting to see. We've always talked about that, you know, throughout the last couple of days, just because it's a lot more blood being pumped into the industry, which is good, and we need more innovation, more ideas, you know, leadership.
Absolutely. I think you do see a number of new companies, and it's the natural evolution of things. That we don't see many of the older or more established companies. I'd like to see both,
right.
And hopefully HIMSS will come back to the point where we have a blending of the old and the new, or these new companies will grow and become the standard.
Yep, completely agree. So I'd like to start off with something positive. What progress are you most excited to see occurring in healthcare today?
Well, clearly, there are two things going on that I am paying the most attention to and care the most about. Mm-hmm. And that certainly, it is hard to ignore the infusion of artificial intelligence into healthcare. Every healthcare company, any healthcare company that's trying to raise capital,
yep,
somehow includes AI in the pitch.
Good point.
I've seen clinic companies,
yep,
that do nothing other than provide certain kinds of clinic services. All, yep, of a sudden, they're AI companies.
Right. AI-driven clinic care. Yeah.
That's right. You know, at some level, it's silly.
Yeah, yeah.
At some level, that's defining AI rather broadly. That's part of it.
That's fair.
And I think AI has wonderful potential. And as a lawyer, I look at it and think to myself, okay, how does this fit into a larger regulatory construct? And I've done a lot of thinking about that and have been engaged with one of the groups looking at accreditation for AI in healthcare.
Yep.
And we'll be working on that. Because it's really important for us to consider how this tool, and let's call it that, a tool, might be applied.
Right.
And, you know, when and where do the humans come in or stay in?
Mm-hmm.
And a conclusion I drew, and I'll probably be writing about this, is that choice is a human endeavor. Choosing, making choices among different opportunities or treatments or plans, whatever it might be, is human.
Mm-hmm.
AI can help inform that.
Absolutely.
But the structure of our approach to it from a regulatory perspective, business perspective, accreditation, has to be that the humans decide. The humans write the algorithms,
right,
even if AI helps. The humans choose the data sets, even if AI helps.
Right.
The humans take the output and decide what to do with it. And that's consistent with, frankly, the last 1,000 or so years of Anglo-Saxon law.
Right. That's great. Yes.
You know, we'd like to kind of fit it into a construct
absolutely
we understand.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Absolutely. Love it. What healthcare or digital health trends are you seeing in the industry? See, outside of, we just covered AI pretty well, right, but anything else that you see out there?
Yeah, that's all of AI. We just disposed of that.
Hey, okay. But what else are you seeing for trends in the industry?
One of the things, and you know I'm involved, for the audience's sake, I'm the co-founder of Gray Matters, a dementia clinic company.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are seeing come out of CMS, but across the healthcare industry generally, is an evolution of payment toward more comprehensive approaches to diseases. And by comprehensive, it's trying to incorporate those. I'm using hand motions here. That doesn't work well on radio.
That's great. I'm Italian. I talk with my hands anyhow. Yeah, and the audience can't see it, but it's great.
Yeah. That's it. But it is the integration of the approach to diseases into a larger context. And over time, I think that's going to be very successful. Certainly, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation have done that with a number of disease states, and they've recently done it with dementia. It absolutely makes sense. It is a natural evolution from what we thought about health maintenance organizations 40 years ago, and perhaps necessarily we sort of spun that out. It didn't work, or people got upset because there were denials, and it was approached as a contractual issue, not a healthcare issue. But now we're sort of coming back to that. Okay, how do you integrate that so that at the earliest stage you're dealing with, and at the primary care level, you're dealing with chronic disease? And I think what we're going to see is patients getting better care earlier. So that
that's excellent, yes.
This new way, so that's, I find that really exciting. And I think what I hope we'll see, you don't see as much here at HIMSS, and it's not HIMSS' fault, is you haven't seen as much of the technology to support that other than in the revenue cycle management part of it. We will, though.
Right.
It's a matter of time, and especially with the smaller and younger companies and entrepreneurs, we want them to identify opportunities, not be ahead of the opportunities, because that doesn't work.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm seeing.
It's excellent. So what are a few best practices or strategies to help, you know, we can share with others to help navigate those trends? Anything actionable, tangible?
Well, the first thing is hire really accomplished counsel. I think that
I completely agree.
Absolutely the first thing you do.
Actually, all jokes aside, that's actually critically important. I would never build a company. I've had amazing attorneys for at least the last 25 years, and obviously you're among them, to work with. So never navigate a company without a really great attorney.
Okay. Right. So, but let's broaden that and make it the advice that I give new entrepreneurs, which is surround yourself with great people.
Yes.
It's really not hard.
Amen.
You know, and that means great advisors like Justin and great accountants.
Yep.
People who have experience and offer not only their experience, but their networks.
Yes.
Critically important. So the first best practice is surround yourself with really good people who are willing to, and I'll use an ancient technology reference here, who are willing to pick up the phone.
Yeah, right? That's great.
You know, willing to go through their Rolodex.
That's the Rolodex, exactly. Another ancient term.
Right. Yeah. Or scroll through their contacts and hit send.
Amen, yes.
But that is critically important because as much as entrepreneurs know, they don't know what they don't know. And there's a tendency to get hyper-focused. And then you start to miss things.
Yeah, you miss the broader opportunity for
sure. So that's the first thing.
Yep.
Second is listen. And from a lawyer, it sounds really crazy. Listening is an extraordinarily important quality because you don't know what you're missing if you're not listening.
Yep.
And
it's great advice.
It's just a thought I really, everything I learned about entrepreneurship, I learned in kindergarten, but listening is, really important as a best practice.
Yep.
And the third is, start with lots of money because, boy, oh boy.
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
Absolutely it is. And when you think you have enough, double that up.
That's it. But those are the three things that I would say. And look, you could go into all the advice you and I have given to entrepreneurs over the years. I won't do that here because we have to save that for when we're doing a program. those are, the sort of essential things.
Yep.
Listen.
Well, so thinking in the last 2 minutes here, thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to navigate successfully in 3 years from now? I know it's hard in healthcare, there's a lot going on, but, in your final couple minutes.
I alluded to this earlier, but I think it is the focus on individualized care.
Yes.
And by that I mean we have to, the only person who can make a patient better is the patient. And that doesn't mean you let the patient alone to do it. How do we support people on their, their path to health?
Yeah, their care journey.
Yeah. And while functional medicine, you know, has earned enmity over the years, there's something to be said for simple things mm-hmm. that go along with good health care, whether you call it functional or primary or Eastern medicine or integrative health.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you call it. A good diet without processed foods, really kind of important.
Absolutely.
You know, using your brain, really important.
Beyond scrolling.
Beyond scrolling, yeah.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, getting out like you do or I do every day and running or cycling, you know, really heavy duty, you know, beyond what our age would actually infer.
Yeah.
But, you know, get on, those things matter. And if you layer on top of that, okay, we can deal with the disease part. We can, to an extent, control environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the environmental factors that we deal with? So, you know, those are the things I would say. Let's look to how we can support individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to matter with all of the other changes that are going on.
Very true. Howard Bird, thank you so much for joining me on air. And great to see you at HIMSS 24, my friend.
Thank you, Justin.
As always, thank you.
Bye-bye.